Hey everyone, welcome to the Stories of Language Learners. I'm your host, Charles. Today's guest is vlogger, podcaster, English teacher, Sam. He's the creator of Puppy English. I've been following Sam for a while and I love his content, especially his vlog lessons where he explores different cities and countries. Sam also has a podcast for English learners. Each episode of his podcast is an English class to help English learners to build confidence, to improve speaking, listening, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation. I highly recommend you guys connect with Sam. You can find all links on the show notes. Okay, here are some of the things we talk about in this episode. The importance of having lots of experiences with your target language. Why you should not worry about speaking perfect English. The biggest mistakes people make when learning English. Sam shared with us his experience learning Italian, Spanish, and Portuguese, the benefits of learning languages, the importance of enjoying the learning process, how the idea of Puppy English came about. I had a blast talking with Sam, and I'm really sure that you guys are gonna love this episode. Before getting to the interview with Sam, let's hear a message from another listener. As some of you may know, on season 4, I launched a new segment on the show. This segment is for you, the listener. If you would like to participate in the podcast, this space is for you. I want you guys to share your voice and your message. So, if you're interested in participating, feel free to send me a message on social media, okay? Today's listener is Jesus. I connect with Jesus on Instagram, and I'm so glad he's participating in the podcast. One of the things that I really loved about what Jesus shared is the fact that he found friends and people to connect with throughout his English learning journey. Also, he participated in a lot of projects to improve his English. He also started a YouTube channel using English, which is awesome. This is something that I truly believe. You don't have to be alone when learning. You can find awesome people to connect with. You can also create your own project to compromise yourself to use English on a daily basis. I did that when I started the podcast, and I'm so grateful for that. Okay, now let's hear Jesus. Jesus, thank you so much for your support and for participating in this segment. I really appreciate it.
Hello everyone, my name is Jesus. I started my English journey back in January 2020 when I joined the Fluency Breakthrough Challenge. It's been a great journey for me. This journey, like many things in life, has its ups and downs. I've met many great people along the way. I feel so lucky to have all these nice and supportive guys around me because I started with the English Challenge, then I made a few podcast episodes with my friend Rebecca and Frank, and now I'm making videos to upload to YouTube. And my friend Maki is helping me with my scripts. I'm sure none of these projects would go that far without the support and help of my friends. Even when a few podcast episodes and some videos might not seem that much on the surface, every single one of these things has a big meaning to me. That's why I follow and listen to your podcast, Stories of Learners Language, Charles, because every story you present represents us as English learners. Your guests always share so helpful tips and experiences. I've enjoyed many of your episodes, like that one you did with Nathaniel. This guy has been sharing many tips about learning languages, but I think the most important advice he gives is to use the language we're learning as soon as possible. I don't doubt that practicing is key for any language learner. I think using the language is fundamental because as humans, it is so connected to us. We need to communicate, so when we use the new language, our brains are like, hold on, this thing is so important to this person, so let's keep this information. When we interact with other people, we can wake up our brain and it helps us to get better at this new activity. On the other hand, when we don't talk to other people and just read in English or follow along with a video, we don't see that much of improvement. Don't get me wrong, all these activities are important too, but they don't have the same impact on our improvement as talking to another person does. Another thing that helps a lot is making videos. I think making videos or a podcast help because we need to talk in a way that people can understand our message, so this makes our way of talking something to care about. As a result, we improve. I've been talking to people in English every single day for around 8 months now because I work at a supermarket. I also write the scripts for my videos and some stories that my friend Maki shares on her Instagram account. Writing has been so helpful to put all my ideas together and to increase my vocabulary. Besides that, as I said, I'm making videos to upload to YouTube, and I can tell you that I've seen some big improvements in my English and my confidence when I speak. So my tips for anyone who wants to improve their English is surround yourself with a few supportive friends, talk to your friends, send them messages, write short stories that soon will be longer, make videos or start a podcast. Try different things until you find your way of learning, your way to improve. Use your English, put in the work, and be patient, because the results won't show up right away, but they will come. Just keep going.
Learning a new language changed my life, and I'm sure that it can change yours too. One of my main goals with this podcast is to share amazing and inspiring stories from other learners, so we all can stay motivated and get inspired over and over again. I hear on a daily basis how much you guys love and appreciate the show. So now you can support the work I've been doing with this podcast by becoming a member on Patreon. All the financial support there will go to the podcast and our community. Also, by becoming a member on Patreon, you'll get extra content. The link to join us on Patreon is in the show notes. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your support. Hey everyone, welcome to the Stories of Language Learners. Today I'm so excited to have Sam on the show. Hello Sam, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Hi Chalice, I'm very well, thank you. It's a pleasure for me to be here. I'm super excited to speak to everybody about language learning.
Awesome, I'm really excited to know a little bit about you and about your journey with language. I've been following you for a while on social media, and also I love your YouTube channel, I told you before. So the first question I have here, could you please introduce yourself?
So hello everyone, my name is Sam and I'm an English teacher. My background is in English teaching. I've taught English in a few different countries, in Spain, in Portugal and in Italy. But now I don't do classes anymore, but I make videos. So I'm on social media. I make little video tips out and about on the street normally. And I kind of do vlogging. So I make videos vlogging, traveling and making English lessons, teaching English in real situations and that kind of thing. I also have a podcast as well. So lots of different things for English learners I do.
Yes, it's amazing. You are creating a lot of amazing content for language learners, and I can say that your podcast also, it's really good. I've been listening to a lot of episodes, and some of your episodes of your podcast inspired me to create some of the questions that I'm gonna ask you. Something that I really like about your Instagram page is that you teach in a natural way some expressions, some idioms, some phrasal verbs. There are a lot of content like this. And also I was talking with Sam before starting to record about his videos on YouTube. I've been like obsessed with the series that he is uploading, traveling the world, and there are so amazing cities that he's visiting and teaching English while traveling. And he basically explored the city, the food, the culture, the people, and while teaching English. And this is a really unique way of teaching, and I really enjoy watching, and I've been learning a lot. So you guys should definitely check it out, Sam's YouTube channel. So Sam, are you in Italy right now?
Yeah, right now I'm in Italy. I'm in a city called Trieste, which is near Slovenia.
Yes, that's awesome. So, okay, the next question I have here is, how the idea of Puppy English came about? When did did you start this project?
So I started this project about 3 years ago, over 3 years ago now. And I was living and teaching English in Madrid, in Spain. And basically, I was looking for a new challenge. I'd been teaching English for a few years and I wanted to do something new, like learn a new skill and develop my career a little bit in a different direction. And I was discussing like different things I could do with a friend of mine called Max. He's from Germany. And we both decided to start a project where we created content on social media, on Instagram, to be honest with you. I didn't have Instagram before this. So I downloaded Instagram and I started an account called Papi English, where you can find all my content is under Papi English now, not Sam. So if you look for me, that's what you have to look for. And I started making like little videos just out and about, like, hey guys, do you know this expression? You can use it like this. And then just trying to teach some English in context a little bit in a fun way. And I started making those videos. They got quite popular. I grew a bit on Instagram. I started making the videos on YouTube as well. Then I started the podcast and I've had a lot of fun making lots of content.
Yes, that's amazing. So something that I would love to hear is that the meaning of Papi English. Could you explain to us? Because I think that maybe people are wondering, what is Papi?
Papi English. Okay, so I know a lot of your listeners are from South America. So if you're from South America, I know that Papi kind of means like a guy. Maybe you can say, hey, Papi, what's up, guy, or something like this. So I knew this meaning and I knew I had a lot of followers from South America. So I played with it a little bit. But Papi stands for practice and perfection in English. So the first letter, practice and perfection in English, is Papi English. That's where the name comes from. So it's nothing actually to do with Papi, like you might say in Brazil.
Yes, Papi, I think it's, I don't know if you know this, but Papi is like when kids here call their dad, like it's a nickname for dad, Papi.
Yeah, as well.
I like the meaning because I think that practice makes perfect, right? There is no way that you're going to learn a new language without practicing it, right? I love this idea.
Absolutely. I mean, we aim for perfect, but we never really get to perfection. Even I don't speak English perfectly. But the idea is if you want to get as perfect as you can be, you need to practice. That's it.
Yes, I love that. Okay, so let's dive in a little bit in your journey with language, because I know that you know some language, not just English. So could you share a little bit about your journey with language when you start learning?
Okay, well, if I go back to when I started learning languages, I was about 17 years old. So before 17, I lived in England. I wasn't exposed to anybody apart from English people. I didn't know anybody from other countries. But when I was 17, I started working in a hotel in my village. I was working in the restaurant, in the bar of a hotel. And the waiters and waitresses, and the barmen, were mostly from Poland and Spain. So I was just like really interested in learning. They were speaking these different languages and like it was just a natural thing. I wanted to know what they were saying. I was really, really intrigued. And I just kept asking them, like, how can I say this? How can I say this? And then I would memorize it. I would memorize the sentence. I'd never memorize like each particular word because I didn't understand grammar. I didn't understand language rules. I was just memorizing blocks of language and repeating it and memorizing it. So to be honest, the first language I learned bits of the language was Polish. And then I made Spanish friends. And also then I went to university and made Spanish friends. And I was really into Spain. Like I really liked Spain. I really liked the language, how it sounded, how it came out the mouth. Also, I could relate to it a bit more because there were some words that were similar in English and in Spanish. So I just got really interested in it and I started learning. And then I went to Ecuador for a month. So I had a month off, I had a year off studying from school where I was working at this hotel. I earned some money. I earned enough money so that I could go to Ecuador for a month. Fell in love with like South America culture. I know South America is a big place, so maybe Ecuador doesn't encompass everything within that. But it was just amazing. And then I came back and I was hooked. Like I wanted to learn Spanish. So I went to university after that, met some Spanish people at university, like kept trying to practice speaking with them. And then in the next summer, I went to Malaga in Spain, in the south of Spain, to to do some Spanish lessons in a school for 2 weeks. So I had like lessons in the morning, and then in the evening, like we went out and we tried practicing speaking Spanish in the bars and stuff like this. And yeah, that's how I began learning languages. It was Spanish, the main one.
So after learning Spanish, how did you start learning Italian and Portuguese?
Okay, so after I finished university, I moved to Spain. I lived in Cadiz, which is a little city in the south, for 1 year. So my Spanish was okay at this point. And then I wanted to try something different. And I got a job as an English teacher in Portugal, in Lisbon. So I went to Portugal. And with my job, it was possible to have free Portuguese lessons as a teacher. So I could join a class for free. I didn't have to pay anything. So I did it every day. Portuguese lessons for 2 hours a day, 5 days a week for 2 years in Portugal. I lived there for 2 years. So at the time, I went from A1 to being about a C1 spoken Portuguese. I was C1 by the end of the 2 years because the class size was two people with a Portuguese teacher. So I had so much personal attention on my Portuguese. The problem was I was really good at talking to my teacher, but I didn't have so many friends from Portugal. So outside of the classroom, I didn't practice that much. So I wasn't that confident speaking outside the classroom, but I knew the grammar, I knew the vocabulary, I knew like so many expressions, idioms you couldn't even imagine. In class, I was amazing, but out and about, I wasn't used to it. And that's the thing when you learn a language, you have to be speaking to everybody, take every chance you can get, have every experience in the language you can find to build up your confidence in the language, I believe. And then, sorry, I forgot about Italian as well. I moved back to Spain. I lived in Madrid for a year. I met my girlfriend in Spain, but she was Italian. So then we moved to Italy. And at this point, I knew Spanish, I knew Portuguese. So learning Italian wasn't too complicated for me. Like, it's quite similar. I was very used to that kind of grammar, that kind of pronunciation. So over a 6 month period, I picked up some language. So I learned it quite casually without studying, but I wasn't fluent or amazing. But then at some point my girlfriend told me, Sam, you need to learn Italian well. So then I tried reading and speaking to everybody in Italian. I did some classes as well, and then Italian is my strongest language as well, because my girlfriend is Italian and we communicate in Italian a lot, English and in Italian. So yeah, that's how I learn Spanish, Portuguese and Italian.
It's amazing. So are you thinking about maybe in the future learn other languages? Have you thought about it?
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. I might be going to live in Germany for 2 months later on in this year, in which case I will try and learn some German, but I'm not too ambitious about it. I don't think I will be able to get a very good level in German in 2 months, but I would like to be able to do the basics, be able to go to a bar, order a drink, a coffee, be able to ask for directions, general greetings, that kind of thing I want to learn. And then we'll see from there. Like, if I start to get a passion for the language, I will continue to learn it. It's something that happened to me in Spanish, like I told you. So we'll see. I need to have a feel for the language before I know if I want to invest the time it needs to learn it properly.
Yes, that's amazing. Something that I noticed, I don't know if you are gonna agree, but I think that you are really passionate about using the language to connect with people, because you moved to places to learn the language and to experience the language, which is awesome, right? And we were talking a little bit about start recording, and I mentioned that, like, right now the idea of your content on YouTube is like you are traveling to places and teaching English, and also you connect with people while traveling and you record some videos with them, which is really cool. Like, I don't know, I think the last video that you published is a video with a girl who is a Spanish teacher, right?
Yes. Yeah. Guada. Español con Guada. You can also follow her and find her. She's very good.
Isn't that amazing? Like, being able to connect and communicate with someone from a different culture than yours and with a total different background sometimes. And this is something that I always say, is that everyone should learn a new language, because truly it's life changing. amazing, right? When you are able to use another language to learn so much from other people, and also on the internet, you can find so many new things when you discover a new language, not just the culture and the people, but a lot of knowledge as well, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. You can learn so many. When you learn a language, you learn more than just the language. You learn about the culture surrounding that language. So, you know, when I learned Spanish, I learned about Spanish music, about Spanish cuisine, Spanish history, about the people, how they are. It's so much more than that. And, you know, it's just, you learn so many different life skills. It's traveling and learning a language for me. Like, that's something that transformed my life, to being a boy in England that had a very sheltered upbringing, not really knowing anything outside of my circle. So basically, when you learn a language or when you travel, you open the door to so many more possibilities. So really something I cannot recommend enough.
Yes, and I remember, I don't know if it was an episode of the podcast or a video on your YouTube channel, that you mentioned that when you started learning Italian, also you started to search more about the cuisine of Italian, and you discovered that the real way of doing things by watching Italian people cooking, right?
That was yes, absolutely. So in the United Kingdom, we eat a lot of Italian food, but let's say it's not the authentic Italian food. We make a lot of mistakes, and the Italian cuisine is very sophisticated. There are a lot of rules, what you eat with what, how you cook it, how long you cook it, what ingredients go together. So when you go to Italy, spend some time in Italy, spend some time with some Italians, they are going to educate you on their way of eating. And it's a big education. Be prepared to learn a lot, really.
Yes, that's amazing. Okay, I'm curious. You already went to Portugal and you learned Portuguese in there. Have you ever thought about maybe visiting and exploring Brazil and Brazilian Portuguese?
Yes, it's a life goal of mine to go to Brazil. My Portuguese isn't as good as it was when I was in Portugal because I don't use it every day. So at some point, I want to go to a Portuguese-speaking country, which is probably going to be Brazil, and to kind of brush up my Portuguese, so get it good again. And I want to make the videos in Brazil. So like we've talked about before, I'm doing a series, Travel the World and Learn English. And when I say travel the world, I mean travel the world. So Brazil, I know that I have a lot of followers and people learning English with me from Brazil. So I really want to go there, go to Sao Paulo, Rio, down south where you're from, and do these videos, like meeting up with Brazilians as well, who can show me their city. They can be in the video as well, and we can share our cultures and languages, and, you know, they can teach me about Brazil, and I can put that in a video. That would be amazing. And I will do it. I don't know when. I'm waiting for the right moment to go, but 100% I want to do it.
Amazing. Yes, you won't regret, because Brazil is so huge and so diverse. There are so many beautiful places to explore, and yeah, the people here, they are super friendly, and yes, that would be awesome to have you here in Brazil. Okay, so the next question is about what techniques, methods, and resources did you use to learn this language? I think this is a trick question, because I don't know if you used like something in common between all of those languages that you used to be able to learn them.
Well, let's say this. I learned languages through experiencing the language. So I built up experiences. And for me, that's the best way to learn a language. But with the first language that I learned, I definitely used more resources, etc., because I really needed that help at the beginning, because it was all new to me at the beginning. When I learned Spanish, it was all new. So I used podcasts, and I used some exercise books, and I had some classes, which really helped. But then after that, it was all about having some lessons, but then going and doing something. So going to travel, visit a country that speaks that language, or finding somebody online to talk to in that language, or reading a book in that language. Every time I did something like this, I was like, this is an experience. How many experiences did I need to learn my native language? When you're a kid, you're having hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of experiences. That's how you learn the language naturally. So I tried to replicate this in learning foreign languages. So I was like, okay, I need to have experiences in the language. It doesn't matter how many lessons I look at or something like this, how many times I practice writing the correct structures of grammar. It was all about getting out there and living the language, let's say.
Yes, I love that, because In my English learning journey, I had, I don't know how to describe, but it wasn't like a pretty path because I struggled a lot with learning because I started learning the traditional way, like going classes and learning grammar and doing exercises over and over again. So for me, it was so boring and I wasn't motivated to learn in this way. And the idea, as you mentioned, that experiencing the language and having connections with people and having fun while learning, because something that I always say is that learning a new language or any skill doesn't need to be boring, right? We can find fun ways to do that. And I dropped the courses that I was doing while learning English and I decided to do things that I liked the most, and I decided to have fun while learning, and that was like the point that I improved so much more. And nowadays, if I start to learn a new language, I would prioritize like to separate some time to really experience the language and try to connect with people and to use the language, because with English I avoid for so long to start to speak because I had so many insecurities. I was so concerned about so many things, and I avoid for so long to start using English to connect and to converse with people. And nowadays I can see that that was like a big mistake. Because we learn language, like the end goal it is to interact with people, right? And to know other places and to have real experiences.
Yeah, I think as you were saying before, using a book to learn language, to practice some grammar, is absolutely fine. That's one experience. But if that's the only experience you do, that's not going to work. You need the variety of experiences. So if you're really serious about learning a language, you need to go, okay, tomorrow I've got this day. I'm going to do a page of grammar exercises. That's an experience. I'm going to have my lesson with my teacher. That's an experience. I'm going to watch a YouTube video about English. That's an experience. I'm going to read a chapter of a book in English. That's an experience. I'm going to go and, I don't know, listen to a podcast episode. That's an experience. Do different things. Don't make it boring. Don't repeat the same exercise, because then you're only going to practice one element of the language. You need to practice all the elements of the language, and that way it's more fun and your brain is going to do magical things and connect things together. And then before you know it, without even realizing it, you're going to have learned a lot.
Awesome. Okay, let's go to the next question. Could you please share with us some of the lessons you learned from learning a language?
Yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot of lessons. One lesson is that you become more understanding about other people who are speaking a foreign language. It's a difficult thing to do. It's an admirable thing to do. You should admire people who can speak different languages and who can communicate to you in your language. Don't take it for granted. I think a lot of native English speakers take it for granted that people speak English. And they're like, they speak English, it's fine. No, they've studied for that. And so when you learn another language, you understand the problem that other people have. Also, as an English teacher, I understand the problems my students have because I've been in their shoes. I know how you can feel conscious about your pronunciation. I know how you can start to feel down about that you're not making any progress. It doesn't seem like you're making any progress. So I can relate to that. So that's really important. I mean, the list can go on and on, the lessons that you can learn learning a language. I always think of new things to talk about this, but I think those are a couple of the main things.
Yes, and I made this question because you have an episode on your podcast called The Lessons We Learned from Learning a Language. So you guys can check it out. And also in that episode, you also add some voice messages from your followers. They sent to you some of the lessons they also learned from learning a new language. I really love listening to that episode. Okay, let's move on to the next question. In general, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people making when it comes to learning English?
I think the biggest mistake is that people get too caught up on one aspect of the language. So I see people getting too caught up on their pronunciation. So they get really conscious about their pronunciation, and that affects their confidence for speaking. And they get too self-conscious about making mistakes. It's absolutely normal to make mistakes speaking a foreign language. Even I'm a native speaker and I make mistakes sometimes. So the way that you learn is by making mistakes and learning from them. So make your mistake and it's fine. If you don't know a word, ask the person, oh, how do I say this? Oh, I can't think of the right expression here. And that helps develop the conversation as well. So yeah, people are sometimes just trying to speak perfect grammar, vocabulary. No, the important thing is to get your message across. And trust me, some of the best communicators of English, the English language, are not native English speakers and they don't speak perfect English. I'm a football fan. So I support Liverpool, which is a club in England, quite a big club. And they've got a manager who's German called Jurgen Klopp. You might know him. He's a German man. He doesn't speak perfect English, but he's an excellent, excellent communicator in English. He gets his message across. Everybody finds him so intriguing and interesting and funny, but he makes mistakes all the time. It's not about speaking perfect English. It's about being a fantastic communicator. That's the important thing.
Wow, I love that. It's so nice to hear that from a native English speaker because it's so true. I went through this process myself. As I mentioned, I avoid for so long to start to speak. And a lot of people, they are really good at understanding, maybe sometimes writing, but they lack the confidence to speak, which I think it's the hardest part of learning a new language. It is to speak, in my opinion. And you need to get out of your comfort zone a lot, and it's challenging. And making mistakes is part of the process. And I think that if I have understood this at the very beginning of my learning journey, I would have like a whole other level nowadays, because I was concerned in making mistakes. I was afraid about what people would think about my pronunciation. I was waiting for my English to be perfect. And as you said, Sam, native English speakers, they do not speak perfect English. And that's okay. So why we as non-native English speakers, we need to speak perfectly? No, the idea is, as you mentioned, it's to be able to communicate and to express yourself.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. That's the key. Being able to express yourself the best way and be an excellent communicator in whatever language. Something I'm a native, but I still think I need to work on improving my way of communicating. Something anybody can improve. It's an important, you need to push yourself. You need to push yourself to get outside of your comfort zone. And at first you're going to be like, oh, I'm embarrassed. Oh, it's a problem. I've gone through this, so I know it. But after a while, after you do it 2, 3, 10 times, even 100 times, you'll change and you'll get a new level of confidence. And that will, you'll be able to use that level of confidence in so many different aspects of your life as well. It will transmit to other things. So yeah, pushing your comfort zone, as you said, I think is something that's really important.
Yes, and something that I realize is that I consider myself like a shy person and also I'm an introvert. So for me, it's really extremely hard to get out of my comfort zone, especially to speak a foreign language with strangers. And I remember that back in 2018, at the end of 2018, I decided to really do something about my English, because I was just, at that point, I was just absorbing the language. I was able to understand and I was able to write, but I could not speak. And I started to look for communities on Meetup. And I joined a community here in Brazil, and the founder of that community is a native English speaker from the US, and he asked me, oh, Charles, would you like to be like a volunteer in our community to help us? Because the city that you want to go to the meeting, we don't have any volunteers in there. So this community was built by volunteers, and I was planning to go to a city, but that guy said, oh, we don't have anybody in there to lead the meetings. Would you like to become an organizer? And I thought to myself, what? I'm so unqualified. No. But then, you know what? I said yes to challenge myself to really go out of, to step out of my comfort zone. And I remember until this day, I went like to a strange city because I didn't know the city. I went to a strange place. I didn't know the place. And I would meet strange people and I would speak in a strange language, like in a foreign language. And I did that and I survived and I stayed in that community for, I don't know, 1.5 years or maybe 2 years, helping them and leading meetings and going places and connecting with with people, and of course I was terrified at the beginning, but I built so much confidence by doing that, that sometimes when I say to people, oh, I am a shy person, people don't believe because they say, you don't seem like a shy person. But why? I developed this skill by practicing it and by doing the work.
And once you get comfortable in a new situation, then you have to seek discomfort again. So to find something else, because that's how you're going to keep like growing and becoming more confident as a person as well. It's a continual process. And then you'll end up doing things you never thought you could ever do.
Mm-hmm. And did you imagine that like you would start a YouTube channel, traveling the world and meeting foreigners and putting content out there and building a following? Because you have a huge following on Instagram, right? I think you have more than 100,000 people in there, which is awesome.
I didn't imagine it. I was just doing it initially as something to, you know, get your name out there. You never know what happens. You never know who's going to watch your content. Maybe somebody important, you know, it could lead to a new job opportunity or just to learn a new skill. So I just started like that. And just, yeah, the idea of having more than 100,000, I don't know how many, 160,000, I think, on Instagram now is crazy. I can't actually imagine that many people. So for one, that's ridiculous. It's been an amazing journey. I hope I continue to learn to do new things, and who knows where it will take me. It's really cool.
Amazing. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, we are almost wrapping up the questions, and then we are going to go to the rapid fire segment. What opportunities and experiences learning a new language brought to you?
That's a good question. So something that learning a foreign language gave me an experience that I never thought I would have. I mean, learning a foreign language means that I've watched films in the foreign language that I would never have watched, so I would have never have understood it like I do, because I think it's important to watch movies in the original language as well. I don't think they're quite the same when they're dubbed. You lose some things. I've been able to talk to people that I wouldn't have been able to talk to if I only spoke English. So even good friends of mine. So I would have missed the opportunity to be friends with them if I didn't speak their language. So that's really important. And yeah, sometimes things can come about from being able to speak a language. You'll get an opportunity for work, for example. Like I'm in Italy. I teach English in Italy. I can speak Italian. So now I work with a big company in Italy that make books, educational books, called Black Cat. So they make books for people who are starting to read a language, like at the different levels, beginner, intermediate, and also advanced. So I make videos with them, and that opportunity may never have come if I didn't know Italian. You know, I'm starting to make videos for course book now as well. So I think it can also lead to great opportunities with work as well if you speak another language. Definitely.
Yes, I could say so many things as well, because there are so many benefits that you can have when you know a foreign language, right? And nowadays, like my actual job that I have, I am 100% sure that if I didn't know English, I would never get this job. And it's an amazing job because I can work 100% online for the first time in my whole life, which is, it's an amazing opportunity. I'm so grateful to be able to work online, especially nowadays with this whole pandemic situation. Okay, let's move on to the next question. What is the best advice you could give to someone who is learning a new language? It can be more than one.
The best advice is to enjoy learning it and find different ways of learning it. So, you know, if you like reading, read in that language. If you like watching movies, listening to music, find what you enjoy and try and find the passion in the language. Languages are really cool things. Don't be shy. Put yourself out there. Try and make friends in the language. And then before you know it, you'll fall in love with it and learning will become so, so much easier. Like at the beginning, it's difficult, especially when the language is completely foreign to you. It's a real struggle. So maybe at the beginning it's going to seem like you're learning very, very slowly, but that's slowly going to increase. But at the beginning, it takes really a long time. So stay patient. Patience is very important. Don't give up. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Okay. So remember, it's difficult. That's why you need to have a lot of patience and don't get discouraged. Some days you're going to be really good at the language. Some days you're going to be bad. Like it happens to me. Like I think my Italian is quite good, but some days like I can't speak Italian at all. So it's like any skill, you have on days and off days. So don't get discouraged and be patient.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. I remember that there was a guest. It's so sad, I never remember the name of the guests. But anyway, there was a guest who mentioned that enjoy the little wins, right? Because sometimes we get so caught up that, oh, I need to learn everything to use the language and to, I don't know, to speak fluently in 3 months. No, enjoy the little wins. This is a long process. It's a long life journey. Even our native language, we are always learning something new, right? The language is always evolving. So enjoy the little wins. It's so important. Okay, let's wrap it up with the rapid fire questions segment. What is your favorite food?
Ooh, my favorite food, well, my favorite cuisine is Mexican, so I really love tacos, but when they are like authentic good tacos. I'm not a fan of Tex-Mex, so the American one, no, but real Mexican food, tacos is my favorite, closely followed by pizza, very closely followed.
Which tourist place would you recommend for someone interested in visiting your country?
I would suggest going to, well, London is the obvious one. There's so much to see in London. And if you go, you have to go to London, of course, especially if you've never been before. Other than London, I would suggest going to my town, which is Stratford-upon-Avon. It's small, but it's the city of Shakespeare. So you can learn all about Shakespeare there. It's very pretty. It's very like typical English countryside cottages. Thatched roofs, which is like where they've got like dry roofs. It's a specific style. There are canals. There is the river. It's very beautiful. It's a very nice place.
Amazing. Thanks for sharing. Now, what is your favorite hobby?
At the moment, my favorite hobby is I love playing football. So I quite like doing active stuff like walking, cycling, playing football. But my favorite hobby at the moment is a hobby I do with my girlfriend, which is tango. We do tango lessons and we dance tango. So we're still learning. We've been doing it for a couple of years on and off, but it's really fun. Every Wednesday night, we go for our tango night. We learn to dance. We dance a bit and it's good. It's a nice thing to do together.
Wow, that's a really cool hobby. I really like that. Do you have a favorite movie or series? If yes, which one? Or which is the last movie or series you have watched?
My favorite series of all time, like something that I will watch at any time, and it's quite a common answer, I'm sorry, is Friends. Friends for me is something you can just watch when you want to feel better, when you're feeling down, and also it's really good for learning English. So that's my favorite series. I don't have a favorite movie. Maybe Lord of the Rings. It's something that I've watched a lot, and I think it's really epic and amazing. It's my favorite.
Awesome. Next one. Do you have a favorite song or band? If yes, which one? Or which is the last band or artist you listen to?
Okay, so I'm an English guy. I'm really into English music. I think we have a really good music scene in the UK. We've got lots of amazing artists. So if you want to learn more about British English, you should listen to some British music. Like Adele, even like if you want to go back to the Beatles, that kind of thing. My favorites are, well, Coldplay is amazing. I think my favorite is Muse. I don't know if you know the band Muse. They're very, very good. It's kind of very rockish music. I've seen them in concert in Wembley, which is the football stadium in London, which is amazing with all the light shows. They're really good. I like Ed Sheeran as well. Yeah, that kind of music.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite book or author? If yes, which one? Or which is the last book you read?
I'm a lazy reader. I like to try and read in foreign languages because it really helps me reading to learn language. I don't know why, but it helps a lot. My favorite author, I don't have a favorite author. When I was a kid, it was J.K. Rowling. She was my favorite. I read a lot of her books. Now I've read like a lot of classic books recently. Probably my favorite is Dickens. It's very interesting. He looks at a lot of important themes from over 100 years ago, but even now today, they're very important. Like in his books, he touches on stuff like pollution at that time, environmental issues, and like you can still look at it today and and see that as well. I think Dickens is Charles Dickens is timeless.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Next one. Could you share with us three phrasal verbs, idioms, or expressions that you think people should know them?
I think people should know the phrasal verb look forward to. Often they make a mistake with it. So if you look forward to something, you're excited about something coming in the future. So for example, I'm looking forward to my summer holidays. The mistake that people make is because with look forward to is a preposition. It's not the part of the infinitive verb that follows. So after, if you want to use a verb, you need to use the gerund form, the ing. So you say, I'm looking forward to going on holiday, to going, not to go on holiday. So that's the mistake. Everybody, I've been teaching this for so long. When I was teaching students, I told them 100 times and they never remembered it. So after to, it's to going, to seeing, to being. Okay. I'm looking forward to going. Favorite idiom? That's a good question. I really like the idiom. People have a problem with this idiom because they say people don't use it anymore, but I like the idioms that are very visual. So it's raining cats and dogs. I like a lot. People say native speakers don't use it anymore, but I like to use it sometimes, but in an ironic way. Okay. Because in Britain, we're quite ironic. So have you seen outside? It's raining cats and dogs. So I like idioms that have a bit of irony in them. So anything like that, to pass with flying colors is nice. So if you pass something very well, if you do very well in something, you can say, I passed with flying colors. I passed my driving test with flying colors. Anything that's really visual, I think is cool. Also when I'm learning other languages.
Thank you so much for sharing. Last question. Where can people find you online?
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram. Type in Papi English. You'll find me for sure. TikTok, you can find me as well. Papi English. YouTube, Papi English. Facebook, and also podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere on podcast, it's there. So everywhere, basically.
Awesome. I'm gonna put all of these links in the show notes so you guys can connect with Sam. So Sam, thank you so much for being here recording this episode with me. I had so much fun. Yes, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shailesh. It's been a pleasure to speak to you and to speak to your audience as well.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you can, please share the podcast with your friends. Subscribe to the show so you can get notified when I release new episodes. And feel free to leave a review. I would love to read it. Now I have a message for you. Remember this, you don't have to be alone when learning a new language. You can find awesome communities to be part of. The number one reason why I was able to level up my English is because I decided to get out of my comfort zone and connect with language learners from all around the globe. So, if you have been struggling to improve your speaking skills, and if you can't find someone else to have a conversation, I want to encourage you to participate in our online encounters and to join our global community on Telegram. Since June of 2020, I've been organizing English speaking sessions on Zoom for us to hang out. In there, you can meet new people, make new friends, and practice English while having fun. If you can't use Telegram, don't worry. I always announce our encounters on social media, and you can always DM me so I can send you the link to our meetings. So that's it. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.